Well, every election, Oregon voters must wonder what all the fuss is about in most of the other states. Reports of having to show voter ID or waiting in long lines in the rain don't sound familiar in a state where all elections have been conducted by mail for two decades. The Vote at Home campaign aims to make mail-in elections the norm in other states. Jackson County Clerk Chris Walker is part of that effort, joining us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And also on the phone with us is somebody from the Vote at Home campaign, Jerry Langler from Vote at Home. Thank you, Jerry, for being with us here on The Exchange.
Good morning. Glad to be with you.
And Chris, let's start with you. Oregon started its vote-by-mail system in the mid-1990s. It kind of phased in over a decade or so. And by 2000, we used it for that year's presidential election. The results have been pretty impressive, haven't they? I mean, what do the numbers say about the success of vote-by-mail?
It definitely spurs voter turnout. You know, the county clerk through the elections process is the voice and will for all of our citizens. And we take that job very seriously. And of course, participation is the way you can have your voice heard through the elections process.
And so are Oregonians pretty happy with vote by mail? I mean, have there been surveys done about it?
I'm not necessarily sure about surveys. We don't at the local level do those surveys. It would be more through the Secretary of State's office or maybe through a university. But I believe that the majority of our citizens are happy with our system. There's always things that can be improved, and we recognize that every election because there is no perfect system. But we'd like to think that the citizens of Oregon voted to make this our way of voting here in the state of Oregon. And we listened to that, and we feel very successful and very proud of the election system we have here in Oregon.
That's right. We forgot to mention that this was all instituted by a citizen initiative. It was Measure 30, I believe it was, back in the day. Jerry Langler, tell us about the Vote at Home initiative. Let's bring you into the conversation.
Certainly. Well, the voteathome.org is the group actually started by Phil Kiesling, former Secretary of State here in Oregon, who was Secretary of State when the vote by mailed out ballot came into play at the very end of the 1990s. And we have been working now to spread the model, spread the word nationally. Pleased to be able to say that obviously many people know there are three states now, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, that are 100% voting by mailed out ballots. But many people don't know, Utah is now 98% that way. Just a couple of small counties have not gone that way. California is on its way. Five counties this past election, there'll be 10 to 15 counties in 2020. And other places across the country, people are finding out about this model and experimenting with it. So, for example, in Nebraska, four counties did vote by mailed out ballot in the latest midterm, and they had 69% turnout versus something in the mid-50s for the state as a whole. So it's starting to spread. It's starting to get picked up across the country.
So if you look at the early discussions of vote by mail in Oregon, there were some critics of the procedure before it was adopted, and they claimed it would open the door to massive voter fraud. You know, what were some of the other early concerns that were voiced, Chris and Jerry as well? And have those concerns ever been confirmed?
You know, you always can make your system better, but they're just as unproven that the voter fraud truly exists to a horrible extent out there. We are always looking at ballots throughout the election to make sure that the person who voted that ballot or who signed that ballot is the person that actually voted that ballot. So, again, there is no perfect system. And, of course, we've been doing this actually since the 80s is when Oregon first started experimenting with this in special elections. 98 is when our citizens chose to make vote by mail their sole way to vote in the state of Oregon. So the difference between Oregon and the other states that are implementing vote by mail or the vote at home model are that our citizens chose this way to vote, to where a lot of the others are going through the legislative process. Mm-hmm. And of course, we know how contentious sometimes that the legislatures can be. It's a give and take on both sides. So very lucky that our citizens actually voted to make this way to vote. And again, we try to make improvements every single elections to our system.
Jerry, are you hearing concerns and criticisms at the national level as this campaign keeps rolling along?
So, you know, we always get some pushback. And unfortunately, you know, then you have sort of case examples of people who have implemented mail ballot voting badly, Georgia and Florida come to mind, and North Carolina recently has had problems. But it isn't the system that's the problem. It's the way they chose to implement it. In the case of Florida, if you have a ballot that comes in a week before the election and the signature is questioned or doesn't match, they have a week to cure that problem. If the ballot comes in on election day, their current law says there is no time to cure that mismatched signature or questioned signature. I mean, it's just crazy, right? That you're basically taking one voter and treating them one way, another voter treating them another way, but both got their ballots in on time. So there are things like that that have to be beaten back. In North Carolina, you saw people, absconding with ballots. Well, there are things used in Oregon and elsewhere where you can actually track your ballot just like you would a Federal Express package or an Amazon delivery, from the time it actually is printed to the time it is received and authorized to be counted at the county election official's site. North Carolina doesn't use that, right? So there are things like that where you can say, look, the reason you don't hear about those problems in Oregon or Washington or Colorado and others is because our systems are pretty well tuned up. As Chris said, you can always do better. We can always do better. But we don't see it as a fundamental problem of the system. It's more of an implementation issue.
Chris?
Yeah, and Jerry's absolutely correct. We've been doing it this long that we've figured out all those little nuances to the system. In fact, in Oregon, you have till 14 days after the election to cure or remedy a bad signature ballot, meaning the signature did not match, or those ones where people just forget to sign their ballot envelope. So 14 days after the election, and you can still get that ballot counted. So these are things that, because we have done it so long, we've led the way throughout not only the state, but through the country, that Oregon's had figured out for a long time among the other states.
The topic is vote by mail and Oregon's vote by mail system being potentially rolled out nationwide. If you have questions about Vote by Mail or voting in general, join the conversation this morning at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Chris Walker, just exactly what happens to an Oregon voter's ballot when they drop it in the mail? We put it in the mailbox and it's gone. And, where does it go? How does it get counted? What are all the steps there? Can you outline that for us?
Well, we work very closely with the postal system. We have a great working relationship in Oregon, something that you definitely have to have in order to conduct all mail elections. Now, of course, people can drop those in any United States Postal Service box, and it comes to us, as well as we provide 24-hour drop sites. I know here, at least in Jackson County, all of our drop boxes are 24-hour, available to the citizens till 8 o'clock election night to bring those ballots to us. We have people, teams that come and retrieve those ballots on a daily basis throughout the election to make sure that those are getting to us and that we can get those processed. Once we receive it, it goes to the ballot sorter, which takes an image of the outer envelope, the signature side of the envelope, reads the barcode, and once we close out that batch of ballots, it then goes to signature verification. So contrary to popular belief, every single ballot signature gets verified by a human being on our staff. And we do apply a lot of temporary help, but that signature actually, before it is considered a bad signature, if you get that notice in the mail, it goes to up to three different looks at the signature to make sure that it is that person. But if you are one of those folks that happen to get that letter in the mail, don't ignore that letter. It's nothing personal. It is the test that we have to ensure that you are the person who signed that ballot envelope. Once your signature has been accepted, it goes through sorting again, which the ballot sorter will individually precinct sort those ballots and put them in batches, as well as open the outer envelope. Now, of course, we can't open the outer envelope till 7 days prior to the election, according to law. And then our teams come in and actually take those ballots out of the envelopes, preparing them ultimately to go through our tabulation equipment to show now how you voted within that. And that, of course, can't start till 7 days before the election either. So in a nutshell, that's kind of our process.
Okay. I want to step in here with an email that we just got from Margaret in Talent. And Margaret writes, one thing that has always bothered me is that it is not a prepaid return envelope. Yes, there are a few drop boxes, but if you live in a rural area, you need to drive a long distance to find one of those boxes. And she said that she believes this is a barrier to voter participation.
And it's great. Thank you, Margaret, for that comment. We are actually in the governor, from what I understand, has placed funding within her recommended budget to cover the cost of ballots coming back to us at the elections office. You know, at first, as an elections official, you know, you of course are beholden to a budget by the county as well. But I do actually, at first, wasn't sure I like that or not. But now when I look at it recently, I think that it could be a great way to not only increase participation, but it would also make every single United States Postal Service box an official ballot drop box. But the second piece to this would be that we may look at wanting to accept postmarks on ballots. So meaning if you dropped your ballot on election day and it had that postmark of that day, we would be able to accept that ballot as timely and include that in our election. Right now, we cannot do that, is why we always tell people get those in the official drop boxes or mail no later than that Thursday before the election. But what that would do is then we'd have to work on the rules to say by the Friday after the election, we'd have to have that in our possession to count that ballot.
Right, I was going to ask, wouldn't that delay results?
It would, especially if you had close races. But I do see this as a win-win. And of course, it's about not providing barriers. We want our citizens to be able to participate, whether you participate with the day your ballot goes out or if you wait till election day. So it is a great comment, and I do appreciate that from our citizenry, and believe it's something that we are definitely looking at addressing in this upcoming legislative session.
So another – go ahead, Jerry.
If I could, you know, California does the postmark by model, and obviously, you know, their results were delayed this time and are in general. And I heard a very great quote from one of the California elections officials about that, which she said – the republic will not fall if the media has to wait a week to announce the final results, but the republic will fall if not enough people participate in the election.
And awesome.
That was a very sort of profound way to go right at the heart of that. One other quick thing. At the federal level, there is now consideration. It's the Congress, so who knows how long it will take and what will happen, for either having a lower price for ballot delivery, that's authorized by the federal government, so that for counties or states, if they choose to offer this, it won't cost them as much, or for the federal government to actually pick up the cost of the postage entirely. It's early days, but we'll see where that goes.
I wanted to ask a question, Jerry, about the federal level. Is it legal, or would it be possible for Congress to mandate that states conduct federal elections by mail, or is this process of rolling out Oregon-style vote by mail going to have to happen on a state-by-state basis over time?
So we don't know. I think there is a constitutional question there that may well be tested. One of the things that's being considered now would be a baby step in that direction. There are currently 18 states that still require you to list an excuse to get an absentee ballot from a list of potential excuses. And one of the things Congress is considering now is a law that would say every citizen has the right to get an absentee ballot without having to list an excuse. That's, again, small step in the direction of what we do here in Oregon, but it would probably test the constitutionality of can the federal government actually mandate things like this.
So I have a question about voter ID laws, and you know, there are 32 states that I think still have voter ID laws, and I follow this a little bit more closely because I think about my home state of Wisconsin. I haven't lived there for over 40 years, but I still follow Wisconsin politics. And, you know, they have a voter ID law, and it was passed by a heavily Republican legislature, signed by Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin. And opponents of that voter ID law have seen it as voter suppression. What happens to voter ID laws if a state adopts a vote by mail system?
Well, essentially, they become moot. Because what happens is you still have to prove your citizenship in whatever the state chooses to have you do it, you know, whether it's with your driver's license or passport or birth certificate or whatever it happens to be. You have to do it, but you only have to do it once. You know, they basically assume once you've proven you are a United States citizen authorized to vote, you maintain that right. You know, you don't all of a sudden become a citizen of Canada. And so the states can do whatever they want one time to put you through that hoop, but then you don't have to do it every election.
Yeah, and we also have, contrary to popular belief, even in Oregon, to qualify for the federal portion of your ballot, there is a identifying document or ID law called the Help America Vote Act. It was a provision within the Help America Vote Act that in order to qualify for those federal portions of your ballot, you needed to provide identifying document or a residency document, such as a power bill or something that showed your residence address within the area that you're registered to vote. And we do that when we register voters here in the state of Oregon.
The topic is vote by mail and voting in general. And our guests are Chris Walker, who is the Jackson County Clerk, and Jerry Langler, who is from an organization called Vote at Home. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 or by email. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Getting back to some of the concerns that people raise about voting in general, President Trump himself has brought up the issue of voter fraud numerous times. Most recently in the midterms, where he said, you know what people are doing, they're going out and they're voting and they're going out and changing their clothes and putting on a, you know, Groucho Marx mustache in their car or whatever and coming back in and voting again. Obviously, if you're voting by mail, you can't do that. But I can conceive of some situations where you might get someone else's ballot. Let's say you move into a brand new apartment and you're really diligent about changing your address. And so you get your ballot in the mail, but the prior occupant of the apartment wasn't so diligent. And so you get theirs in the mail and you thought, oh, hey, I can vote for Chris Walker twice here. So I'm going to do that. So does that happen? And how do you address issues like that?
We have areas where people don't update their address or whatever, just the situation that you spoke about. Again, remember, we signature verify every single ballot that comes back to that, and that is compared to what we have on file off your voter registration card. So even if they'll say somebody did try and pull a fast one that way, we're going to verify that signature and catch that through the signature verification process as we go through that. Now, the great part, too, about Oregon is that we do a lot of data sharing as far as address changes. We participate in the National Change of Address Program, also the ERIC program, which we share data with. I believe there's like 23 other states, approximately. There may be more now, that we're sharing death certificate data, we're sharing DMV data, we're sharing those things to try and make our voter rolls cleaner and better to prevent problems such as this. So that is a good thing. Again, there is no perfect system, but we find things that we can do to make the process better every single election. And this is one that always a concern and a concern of our citizens. And we're very aware of that here in the state of Oregon and around the country.
So voter fraud is one thing, and then we also hear about, you know, election security. So voter fraud is somebody voting twice or two times, or, you know, the old joke in Chicago was, you know, vote early and vote often. but then there's election security. And in this interconnected world that we live in, that is a huge issue. And we hear that the voting machines that are used in a lot of states now are easily hacked with relatively, you know, low skill hackers can get into a voting machine. Can you address the security of the vote by mail system? I mean, for example, when you're tabulating votes in the state of Oregon, California, or Colorado or Washington, how secure is the actual central computer that's tabulating those votes?
In Oregon, and I can speak not just, well, for my county and the state of Oregon, but here in Jackson County, we have a system that it is networked together, but it has no other connection besides an electrical plug to the county unit. So there is no online activity. There's no way a person from the outside could hack into that system when, of course, you're on the World Wide Web. So that is a very great thing. It is purposeful, and we can ensure our citizens that their votes are not being hacked within that tabulation equipment. We also run tests on that equipment by law. 7 days ahead of the election, we run a test deck through there to make sure that the equipment is tabulating. That is a public test open to the press, open to the general public if they wish to come view that. And I do a press release every election for that. Mm-hmm. Then before we actually start tabulating ballots, the first day that we start sending ballots to, we have to run that test all over again to ensure that our equipment is still tabulating the way it was programmed to. Then we zero those results out of those tests, and then we start live tabulation. At the end of our election, once we've certified, we have to run those tests all over again to make sure that that thing has changed within that equipment. So we have a lot of different things within the system, at least in the state of Oregon, to where we are monitoring and making sure that that equipment remains tabulating the way we have programmed it to.
And Jerry, are you seeing security concerns elsewhere in the country?
Well, I think what Chris just described is exactly why we're not. What Chris described, the term of art is risk-limiting audits, right? Is the before, almost during, and then after. And of course, because the way this works, we have paper ballots. We have paper ballots filled out by the voter to measure everything against. So if there is any discrepancy, we can actually go back and count by hand. Recently, the head of the Department of Homeland Security was visiting Colorado and announced that they viewed Colorado as the safest place to cast a ballot, which annoyed us a little bit in Oregon. but they're using basically the same system that Chris just described, right, which is disconnected central counting machines, disconnected from the outside world, and risk-limiting audits, you know, before the election, immediately before the election, after the election. And so I think we feel pretty confident that it's very, very difficult to game the system.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up the conversation there. We could go on for quite a while talking about vote by mail. But we want to thank our guests this morning, Jerry Langler from the Vote at Home campaign, voteathome.org. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
And Jackson County Clerk Chris Walker, thank you for joining us this morning in the studio.
Thank you so much.